Well, good morning, Trillium. Happy belated Valentine's Day. Kissing what he told you. Wearing my love shirt this morning. Should be red, I know, but it says the word, so that's close enough. And trust you had a good day with your loved ones yesterday. I took my wife out and we did something really, really special last night. This is just a pro tip, guys, if you're looking for an idea for next Valentine's Day. Got in the car, drove to Shoppers Drug Mart, went to the card aisle. And we spent time picking out the perfect Valentine's card. And we found the right card. I found the right card for Lynn. I handed it to her. She handed me my card. We read it. We hugged and kissed and put the cards back. It was great. You can do that. You can do that. You'll save about $30. And then go for a high-class, high-quality dinner at Burger King. And then you got it licked, right? There you go. Anyhow, it's good to be with you again this morning, and really honored to be part of this series from some to all. I think that's an amazing theme. And so this morning we're going to begin by reading the scripture from Luke chapter 10. And this may look familiar because I think you covered it last week, but this is just the first part. And Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 25, says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' The word of the Lord." You know, this series from some to all really kind of struck a chord with me when Mark was telling me about it, because the church has really never done a great job at being welcoming, opening up the circle to include other people. Trillium may be one exception, and I encourage you and congratulate you for the openness of your community. It's really wonderful to see. And I know this morning that no church, not even Trillium, is perfect. And let me encourage you this morning, if you find a perfect church, don't go, because you'll wreck it. I know I would. You know why? Because we're all imperfect human beings. And so we won't be able to maintain that perfection for very long. A pastor friend of mine once said, "Stop looking for the perfect church. Instead, go to worship the perfect God with a congregation of flawed people who need grace just as much as you do." And I think that's true for all of us. But all that said, as I may have shared, and my intention really this morning isn't to bash any particular church. I love the church. Jesus loves the church, and so do I. But I grew up in a very conservative Baptist church up in Waterloo. And it was a wonderful church in many, many ways. I heard about Jesus there for the first time, and I was baptized there. But the church was very insulated from not just the world, but from other churches. We weren't allowed to go to movies. We weren't allowed to play cards, except Uno. We weren't allowed to attend a Billy Graham crusade in Toronto because there was a chance that there might be Catholics there. And so they were really, really, really protective, and they were perfectly loving if you were one of them. But if you weren't one of them, you were actually a target for conversion, and that was I didn't really see it at the time because I was in it. I remember my parents later had attended a church up in Barrie. I had gone to school by then, and they were attending a similar church in Barrie. And I remember having a conversation with the youth pastor of that church. He was telling me about the Sunday night when he was standing at the back of the church, and he was there with one of the older members. And this youth pastor recognized one of the young people coming in, and the youth would always sit kind of down in the front together. There were 20 or 30 young people, big youth ministry. And a particular young person walked in, big mohawk haircut. You don't see many of those anymore. But big mohawk haircut, covered in tattoos, covered in piercings, had knee-high boots. And this older church member turned to my youth pastor friend and he said, if my son came to church dressed like that, I'd beat him half to death. And my pastor friend said, I bet you would. Because he knew that was just the attitude that this guy had toward outsiders, to people who were different. And all of that to say that church has had problems in the past being inclusive and loving people. And that's really, really hard to deal with. I believe that Pastor Mark quoted my Facebook page where I posted this not too long ago. It's hard to convince people to believe that a God they can't see loves them when a church they can see doesn't seem to even like them. And to me, that really kind of struck a chord with me. And like I said, I know the church isn't perfect. But why are churches like that? Why do people feel unwelcome beyond a quick handshake or maybe just a quick hello? Why is church attendance half of what it was 30 years ago? Well, I have an idea why. And so I, and maybe some of you, grew up in churches that primarily focused all of their attention on fulfilling the Great Commission. You familiar with the Great Commission? These were Jesus' last instructions. They're found in Matthew chapter 28 at the very end. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Commission is what drives most evangelical churches, and I do believe it's an important way for us to go forward. It's an important command from Jesus. Last words are important. But before Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan, and that's what Mark was walking you through last week, a lawyer comes to Jesus and asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus turned the question back to the lawyer and said, well, what does the law say? You're the expert. And as we just read, he answered, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. And I want to stop at that point. Normally, we would go on and, you know, share the rest of the parable because it's really important. But the first goal of being a disciple of Jesus is to learn what it means to love God and to follow Jesus. And my church in Waterloo, they did that. Every Sunday, we were challenged from the Scriptures to live godly lives, to grow in our knowledge of the Bible, to go around the world with the good news of Jesus. But the second part of the Great Commission calls them to teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded. And we didn't spend much time on that part of the instruction. You know, commands of Jesus like love your enemies, to turn the other cheek, to forgive those who have offended you, to care for those that are strangers who are poor, the widow, the orphan, to feed the hungry, to heal the sick. All the things that fulfill the great commandment to love your neighbor. And whether it was my upbringing in Waterloo or what I learned in the seminary or the churches I pastored for 15 years and devoted about 90% of my time to fulfilling the Great Commission and maybe 10% of my time to fulfilling the great commandment. And that's really my confession this morning, that was wrong. That I had that balance all out of whack. It did nothing to move me from some to all. The gospel that I preached wasn't wrong. It was just incomplete. There was, as Rich Stearns of World Vision called it, a hole in my gospel. Pastor Mark is convinced that I'm becoming more United Church than he is. We've had many conversations about that. But I think I'm just returning to a balanced view of what it means to follow and obey Jesus. And I fully affirm the Great Commission of making disciples and all that entails. But I also need to be fully committed to the Great Commandment and love my neighbor and all that that entails. It's not a 50-50 thing. It's a 100% commitment to both the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Now, just to be fair and balanced, the other extreme is also wrong. And not to cast dispersions on any other church or the United Church or other mainline churches, but it's not enough just to love your neighbor and do all the good things. Because then you end up being really happy, and everybody's really happy because they have all the good things and they feel loved, but they're still lost without the hope that Jesus can bring, and they do need to hear the gospel of Jesus. And they need to love him and know him now and forever. So there's a hold in that gospel too. We are called to love God and love our neighbor. And here's what I've really learned that has changed everything for me. That when you obey the Great Commission when you obey the Great Commandment to love your neighbor first, then they are 100% more open to the love of Jesus. And the Great Commission comes much easier when your neighbors feel that love. Your neighbors will be more likely to want to follow Jesus when you and I obey all that Jesus has commanded us and demonstrate his love. They will ask you why you live like that and why you love like that. And then you can tell them. It's amazing to me when we moved to Preston, about 15 years ago now, we didn't go door to door with our four spiritual laws tracts and introduce ourselves as the new local Baptists and ask people, you know, if you were to die tonight and stand before God and he were to say, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? That's how we were taught to kind of present the gospel. And they feel pigeonholed. We didn't do that. We actually had a barbecue at our house. In fact, our church, at my church Forward in the South End, they had something called a party in a box where they would bring a little 8-foot enclosed trailer, put it in your driveway. There was no branding on it. It was just a party in a box. And inside was a barbecue, a bunch of coolers, some lawn games. And then they would actually pay to put a bouncy castle in your yard. So that would show up. And then you just invite your neighbors. And so neighbors would come and they would bring salads and desserts. We provided the meat, and we had a barbecue in our yard. I think we had 50 or 60 neighbors hanging out in our front yard for 3 or 4 hours in an afternoon, and just had a great time getting to know them. Never once talked about church, but we started looking for opportunities to fulfill the Great Commandment on Hickory Street. And so whether that meant snow blowing a driveway for a neighbor who had had a stroke in the fall, he couldn't do his driveway. There's nothing for me to run the snowblower up and down his driveway a few times. It was a great way to demonstrate some love and care for him. Or when a neighbor had passed away, to be able to be there for the family. My wife, I call her the Pied Piper of Hickory Street because the kids from up the street come over, and she makes popsicles and puts them in the freezer. Remember the old plastic popsicle holders that you pour like Jell-O mix in? And so now kids show up every couple of days in the summer, and they ring our doorbell, and they ask for popsicles. And so I got a picture of my wife sitting on our front porch with 20 kids around her, and they're eating popsicles. And that's just her way of showing love to the kids and to the neighbors. And it makes a huge difference. When your neighbors see that you love them and you can demonstrate that you love them, you almost don't have to go out of your way to look for ways to share the gospel because you kind of are. And they get very curious about why you're just so nice and why you do things like that, because that's countercultural in our world, to actually care for your neighbors, to actually love your neighbors. It's countercultural to obey this great commandment of loving people. And that makes a real big difference. And I'm really calling for balance as we obey the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And I want to end on a hopeful note this morning that I'm seeing churches get much better at doing this. At Forward Church, my home church, we've made great strides in obeying the Great Commandment. And Forward wasn't always that way. 30 years ago, Forward was much like the church I grew up in Waterloo, but they've come a long way since. And we do so much to try and obey the Great Commandment. And like Trillium, we offer food to those who need it. We offer all kinds of services to single moms and to those needing help with physical and mental health. We have a school for autistic kids that rents our facility, so we're able to provide that service as well. We offer financial training to help people get out of debt. And we still find that people talk about following Jesus as full disciples, so they understand kind of what that means, and we demonstrate what that looks like. It's been great to see Trillium commit to the Alpha course and to even talk about discipleship, which is not a common theme within most United churches. But that's the balance I'm talking about, that we obey the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. But back to this parable that we started with, you know, this lawyer asked Jesus at the end, well, who is my neighbor? And you know what the lawyer is trying to do? He's a lawyer. Any lawyers? Not to offend. The lawyer is looking for a loophole, right? So he knows he's to love his neighbor. It's part of the Great Commandment. So he says, well, who is my neighbor? So Jesus goes ahead and tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. But then at the end of it, Jesus asked, who was the good neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? He wasn't going to tell the lawyer who his neighbor was. He was asking the lawyer, who was the neighbor? Who was the good neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And the lawyer said, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Jesus flips the question. You and I can't choose our neighbors. I know sometimes we would like to. If you can choose your neighbor, it makes it easier to love them, right? If you can choose not to love that neighbor because he makes too much noise on weekends, but you can love the neighbor that's nice to you, that's awesome. You don't have that option. We are called to be the good neighbor. We are called to love our neighbors and to be that person. And that's what's really important. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Do all the compassionate things that the Good Samaritan did to the man who fell among thieves. So how do we move from some to all? By being good neighbors, by showing mercy, by obeying the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I can't leave this morning without telling at least one story from International Justice Mission from our work. My boss was actually born and raised in India, and he tells the story of a man who had been rescued from slavery. Slavery is still a thing, did you know that? 50 million slaves in the world today, more slaves in the world today than at any time in human history, and especially in India. Bonded labor is still a huge, huge problem. Factories, brick kilns, all kinds of factories filled with people who are working to pay off sometimes a very small debt, maybe $20 or $30, and they work sometimes for years and they never pay off the debt, and it's remarkable. And one of these guys was rescued. Police had gone in. They got a certificate of freedom for him to get out of that factory. And after many, many years of living as a slave, and during the aftercare process, he said to one of our aftercare workers, he said, you know, he said, I've never seen God, but I've seen you. I've never seen God, but I've seen you. And as you and I obey the Great Commandment to love our neighbors, your neighbors, in their minds, maybe they've never seen God, but they've experienced his love through you. And that's what we have to offer our world. That's what we can offer our world, to go from, to bring a church from some to all. You know, IJM is often accused of not being Christian enough because we don't hand out Bibles or plant churches or immediately try to convert the people that we rescue. But we try to be Jesus in those situations and in those circumstances so they can really see us following him. So my challenge this morning is quite simple. To move from some to all, we need to obey not only the Great Commission, but just as importantly, the Great Commandment. To show our neighbors what the love of Jesus really looks like, to obey all those things that Jesus taught through the whole course of his ministry. All those commands like loving your enemies. You know how rare that is in our world today? I mean, how are we told that we're to treat our enemies? Well, we hate them right back, right? We get even. Retribution. That's not what Jesus taught. When you see someone who's hungry, we're called to feed them, to give them food. You know, when I drive by a homeless person standing at an intersection at the Delta with a placard needing funds, needing some help, it's not my place to judge why they're there. It's not my place to judge why they need what they need. They need help of some kind. So what can I do? So I've taken to keeping a little stack of Tim cards, Tim Hortons gift cards, in my door pocket of my car. Just a $5 card. So if I, and because who carries cash anymore? Anybody carry cash? Some of you might. I don't carry a lot of cash. But I give a Tim card, right? Or I'll offer to buy somebody a sandwich. I was at the En Route on the way to Toronto last week, and I just got a sandwich I was eating really quick before driving into the city, and a fella came up and knocked on my door. And actually, he was mute. He wasn't able to speak. And he handed me this little card. And it just said, I'm unable to speak. I can't work. And would you be willing to buy this little card to help me raise some money to feed myself? And of course, I had no cash. So I got out of the car, and we walked into Tim Hortons, and I bought him a sandwich and a coffee, and we sat down, and he couldn't talk, but he was just so grateful. So grateful. Because so many people just keep their window up, pretend they don't see him. Like, what can we do to fulfill the great commandment? And like I said, I'm really grateful for all the things that Trillium does within your community and within the larger community to demonstrate the love of Jesus. It's so amazing. It's so refreshing. And my prayer is that more churches would catch that vision, because this church will grow from being a very sheltered, inclusive place to a place that's open. It's open to all. That shows love to all. And people respond to love.